Hello and welcome. Today is our inner healer gathering and it's November 19th. I was musing on this probably last week because today was the day that I left for the UK last year. And I was gone for 3 weeks. So I was like, wow, it's been a year already. Who the heck knew, right? Like that went so fast. So very powerfully to tie into that, we have this new moon in Scorpio. Now, I'm not going to bore you with the astrological stuff, but there's a lot of stuff taking place under the guise of this new moon in Scorpio. Scorpio is a water sign. Scorpio is very deep. If anybody knows any Scorpios, very deep people, they can really sit within themselves and be very secretive, quiet, introspective, watching and waiting to see what other people do, right? But oftentimes, when we talk about the energy of Scorpio, because it's a water sign, it's very intuitive, we're also talking about, the illumination part of it, which is the psychic part, the psychic abilities. And we're also talking about the shadow aspects and what's hidden in the shadows. And because of the way that this energy is structured at this time, it is extremely potent and very transformational, full of twists and turns, like a good mystery novel that each of us is going to experience, regardless of whether we have a sun, moon, or rising in Scorpio, because there's so many things at play. We have a Mercury, right? Mercury retrograde in Sagittarius first, then heading into Scorpio next. It's just a very powerful time. There's something called a Kazemi, which is a rare occurrence. It's falling on this new moon. It's, filling the field with all of these super potentials. We're going to talk about the potentials. We're not going to talk about what a Kazemi is exactly. But it's transformational time. It's a life-shifting time, okay? And as I said, every single one of us is going to be affected by these energies just slightly differently. If you've been watching my Instagram page over the last week, you'll probably have noticed that I posted a bunch of pictures that look like we had a slight smattering of northern lights down here in Florida, right? And it was really before the northern lights even happened, right? We hadn't had those big blasts of X flares yet. But here we were just streaming this crazy energy coming in, and it was like lining up. And I heard, go outside and look at the sky, and I did. And it was as if we had the northern lights, and those were the pictures that I took. So, this time is very, very powerful because over the last probably 4 weeks, I want to say, because when we have a Mercury retrograde, Mercury starts its retrograde 2 weeks prior to the actual retrograde and finishes 2 weeks post retrograde, right? So it's a very long period of time. And it's already 6 weeks, so it makes it like 10 weeks, 10 weeks of Mercury retrograding. And so, if you look at your reality, your life, whatever is taking place for you, and you go back and you start looking a month ago, you might notice some little oddities happening in your life, right? Like things just showing up kind of randomly, that kind of bring you to that place of like, oh, this is very interesting in a very odd sort of way, And so when we start to look at those things, we can start to see signs are already showing up. Signs are already manifesting for us so that we can start to really focus and bring our attention in to see what is presenting. Okay. And sometimes the signs are going to be very small signs. Sometimes the signs are going to be right in your face, right? One of my signs, which actually triggered the intense upgrade I went, which was complete karma clearing in nature, which I'm going to explain all of that. We're going to go into deep detail on that. Was being triggered by seeing the British cooking show, right? That was that, even though I was happy to see it and I was joyful thinking about, oh, I remember I was sitting next to that guy, Dave, and I was having such a nice conversation, and he was laughing and such a jolly guy, and heading to England for this, magical tour. And but yet it triggered a very deep, energetic purging, clearing, upgrade, illumination for me. Okay. But if I go back past that, probably 4 weeks ago or 6 weeks ago, I came out of my bedroom one day, and anybody that's ever been to any place I've ever lived for a session knows I'm pretty neat and pretty meticulous, spotless with, my cleaning habits. I'm in Joe's environment, so sometimes I can only clean so much because he's got his stuff on the table at the one end and clutter on his desk and stuff like that. But if it's me, like I like everything in its place, I like everything in order, right? And I walked out of my bedroom at 6:30 in the morning, and it was during the week, so Joe was at the academy, and I had lasagna here, and he's the minute I get up, he's ready to eat, so he's heading to the kitchen, and I got up, and I walked into the kitchen. And I did. I had, you have to go into the kitchen through the doorway behind me, and then turn the light on that's on the wall by that picture that you see, right? That painting right there. So you have to go into the kitchen, turn the light on. But I got to the entranceway of the doorway that you're seeing behind me, and I felt like, oh, what? Something's not right. And I looked down instinctively, and the floor, thank God it's a terracotta floor because it showed everything. The floor was covered in these little maggot-like bugs. I forget what they're called. I took a picture of it, sent it to the exterminator, Googled it because I'm notorious for Googling bugs that I don't know. And so the Google and the exterminator said that that was a like a rice moth or something like that larvae, right? So it's a rice moth larva, like a maggot like looking like, and it's wiggling on the floor like a maggot, except that it's crawling like a caterpillar would, teeny tiny, tiny like a maggot. The floor was literally covered, but couldn't, like I was grossed out. I was so upset. I took my hand vac, vacuumed it all up, and then I started going through all the cabinets. And I'm like, where is the source? Where is the source? Because there's got to be a source here. There was no source to be found. Like they were not coming from the flour, the pasta. They were not coming from any place. I could not locate where they were originating from. And even the exterminator said to me, he's like, check your cabinets because you'll see them in the cabinet and then in whatever it is that they got into. And now they're all over your floor. And there just was none. And I sat for 2 hours, right? in this stupor trying to figure this out. And the message that kept coming was, there is no source. It's not that kind of event. This is a message. So then I had to sit with, okay, well, what is the message then with this, type of critter? And the message was that it's a moth, but it's also in its larva state. So we're talking about death in order for there to be a transformation and then a renewal, because at the end of the day, it's going to turn into a moth, right? Like a butterfly from a caterpillar into a butterfly. And I just sat there and I couldn't believe that that was the experience that I was having, because it seems so surreal. Like one minute they're here and the next minute they're not. And I waited all day for them to come back and they didn't come back. There was no recurrent event. It's been weeks and there hasn't been a recurring event. It was like some kind of spiritual message, right? Like this circumstance that shows up for you and then it wants your attention. And I'm really great detective in the spiritual sense, right? So I'm gonna look to see, what the hell does this mean for me? Like, what is this saying to me? So it was telling me weeks back, preparing me, you're about to go through a death to have a rebirth and a transformation. And I did not know exactly what that meant, because, I did that with the Bartholin cyst when I had the cyst. Circumstances again were in their perfection. I had no health insurance at the time. And I was laying in bed one night in agony, and I went into meditation and I said, please give me the name of a doctor that could help me. They'll take a small copay. It's not going to cost me $1,000, $5,000 to go see this person. And they gave me this woman's name, and I immediately popped up in bed, Googled it, and found that she was two towns over. In a gynecological office over there, and I made an appointment to see her, and I thought, this is great because I'm going to get the help that I need, and this person's going to give me the care that I need. Wrong, because my universe wanted me to handle it, right? But they said, you need the experience of being rejected, because you're rejecting yourself, which is what's creating that Bartholin cyst. You need to stop rejecting yourself and stand up and help yourself, right? And she showed up for me, the meanest doctor I have ever met in my life. Didn't want to give me a prescription for just even to for the pain or anything like that. And I was not taking prescription med or any meds. I haven't taken Advil or Motrin or anything in, I think, since like 2009 or 2008. I don't take any meds at all. Okay. I don't take anything, not an aspirin, nothing. If I have to take something, I take an herbal, whatever I have on hand. So, but I knew I needed an antibiotic or something in order to help me with this cyst, right? And she was so mean. She looked at me and she said, the only thing I could do for you is do surgery, and you don't have health insurance, so that's not happening. So I can't do anything for you. I said, well, can you give me an antibiotic or something? And she's like, no, the antibiotic's not going to help this. And I said, well, I need something. Can you at least try so that I don't get an infection and I don't die from the infection? And then she, of course, gave me the wrong antibiotic because I was insisting on something my body did not need. Okay. This is a precursor to what we're going to be talking about as we get into what exactly happened with me last weekend. And so one of the things that I came to understand then at a deeper level, right? Because the first cancer wasn't enough. I mean, I need the second cancer to really deepen my understanding of how the body heals. And then the Bartholin cyst took it to that next level so that I could really understand we don't need anything outside of ourselves to heal. What we need is we need to step up to the plate for ourselves so that we can be what we need, what we could be what the body needs. Okay. So with that, I went home, and then that night I surrendered to God because I thought I was going to die. I'm like, I have no insurance. I can't get this cyst out of my body. I can't do anything else. Maybe this is the way I'm supposed to go out. At least my ex-husband's in the house tonight. And if something happens to me and I die, he'll be here. He'll know what to do. He can take care of the cats. Everything will be fine. And literally, I started talking to God because I was in such pain that I was like no longer in a physical sense, I was no longer of this reality. I was already in the ethers talking to God and being and like and just saying, hey, like if I'm supposed to go and this is how I'm supposed to go, I don't feel like I'm supposed to go yet, but if I am and this is how it's supposed to be, I fully surrendered. The minute I said that, I was knocked out cold and then felt my body snap. And then the next morning, when I woke up, the cyst naturally burst on its own, cleared my body. The toxins cleared my body. It was like water breaking when you give birth. That's what it was like. Okay. So, talk about the death, right? The surrender to death. Okay, which clears fear. All right. And then the birthing, the water breaking, right? The birthing, the release of the toxins through the body, and then being reborn. And that's what happened. But it took an event that made me so angry that I brought myself back into me. So when we look at things in our life that keep happening over and over and over again to us, and we keep asking ourselves, like, why does this cancer keep coming back? Or why do I have such a problem with this? Or why do I have an ulcer? Or why do I have, whatever it is, right? Why am I constantly getting sick? Why am I constantly having a backache? Whatever. We have to go inward and we have to do a self-assessment and see what is taking place for us because there's something deeper at play. And at first, it's like anything else, right? It's going to throw the pebble at the window to get your attention. And then, if you're not paying attention, it's just going to keep progressing and keep getting worse. Okay. Now, for you to understand this, I, for some ungodly reason, chose to experience these things through my physical body, right? Not everybody's going to do that in the way I've done it, but I came in with a whole lot of fear and then was born to a mother who was very fearful, who created more fear for me. So it's one of the ways that I am was capable of healing the fear that I held, right? That fear of dying, that fear of dying is gone, right? There's like, if I go, I go. If I, it is what it is, right? Like, that's how it is. There is no more fear surrounding it because I understand we are eternal beings, but we have to go through a process to understand that for ourselves. Now, I do know people who have had either a full-on death experience and were brought back and recovered, or a near-death experience and were brought back and recovered that don't have that same philosophy or same view. They don't remember any of it, right? And one person I know happens to be a psychic medium, and they were at my office many years back, right? Many, many years back. And at that time, I was doing work with the Pleiadians, and the Pleiadians came in and they wanted this person to hear this song, You're Out of, You're Out of Touch. I'm Out of Time by Hall & Oates. You're out of touch. I'm out of time. Right. And those words kept coming over and over and over again. And I ended up singing that part of the song to her. And I was like, do you know what this means? And she was like, I don't know. And I was like, well, the Pleiadians are here and they're telling me that. And she was like, oh, I know what that means. And apparently they were trying to get her attention because they want her to do her next steps, like her next steps as a contactee. And she wouldn't do it. She had a near-death experience and didn't want to take that on in her journey, right? So not every time that we have an experience that's a big experience, that's a life-altering experience, are we going to be able to step up, step into what it is that our soul came here to do, because there might still be unconscious human in the way. Okay. I have trained myself over the course of the years and doing work like this with my mentors. I mean, you know, when I was working with Lisa in Hawaii, Lisa Transcendence Brown, she triggered me so badly. I'd be in and out of her community all the time. I'd be in loving her, and then she'd say something, trigger me, bam, I was out. And then I'd be like, I really need to be back in that community. Like, my ego is in the way. And then I'd go back into the community. And then, you know, like 6 months later, she'd say something that really triggered me, and I'd be out again. I'd cancel my membership. But this is, you know, this is how it goes. And it's the work. It's how the work works. It's how this work works. Okay. And so the part of this whole thing that's really important is seeing the signs along the way, so that we can understand if we're seeing the signs of what is transpiring, we're going to be able to tune in at a much deeper level to see what is taking place with us. Okay. And it's not going to seem as scary, and it's not going to feel as fearful. I'm not saying it's not going to have any scariness to it, but it's not going to be as it might be, right? I'm someone that does not like to go to doctors. Now, you know, who knows? The years might go on a couple more, 5, 6, 7, 10, 20, I don't know, or maybe not, and I'll miss that push that my guides are yelling at me, like, go to the doctor. This is, you need to do something, right? I had that when I had cancer the first time. Woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning screaming at me, you have cancer. Go to the doctor. Like, screaming at me in my head. Could not mistake it. Made an appointment that next morning for the gynecologist. Found out that I was in early stages of cancer. I knew it, right? She's wanting to say, oh, it could be cervical warts. It could be this. It could be that. You know, I'm like, no, it's not that. It's cancer. And she's like, well, that would be better, wouldn't it? No, apparently my body knows how to treat cancer. My consciousness knows how to treat cancer. So I'll take cancer for 1,000, Alex, please. Right? Because my body already knows how to do that. Why do I want to buck the system? The system's already created here for all of us, right? So this moon is setting us up to start to work with these energies, setting us up to start to work with our internal guidance system, right? So we can see what's presenting for us. Now, listen, ever since I got here, things have been showing up, right? I saw three snakes. And I'm sitting here doing a session with one of my clients, and the snake is snaking up the window, right? Something wanting your attention is going to get your attention. What is meant for you is going to get your attention. What is meant for you cannot miss you, because it wants you, and it wants you to know. It wants you to be there. It wants you to be in presence. Okay. Now, does that mean that I never have a moment that, you know, some kind of random fear thought comes in and, you know, I have to adjust for it? No, it happens every single day, happens every day, all day, right? Bella's outside right now. Pitch black here. There's nothing out here. When I first got here, they put the fear of God into me. We have coyotes, we have armadillo, we have Foxes, we have all of this stuff that eat cats. I'm like, okay, somebody is really messing with me right now. Like, why did you send me, universe, to a place? I was in New York. We didn't have that stuff. I could let her out at 2 o'clock in the morning, and the only thing I had to worry about was her being hit by a car. Right? But everybody's got a gun around here. Everybody's hunting stuff around here. People are hunting deer right in the backyard. It's called poaching, but they're hunting deer right in the backyard. So, I have to do a really good job. The minute that that mind wants to create a Stephen King novel in my head, and I suddenly see a picture of Bella splattered against the bay window, bloodied, screaming for mercy, right? Pops in my head. And I have to go, oh, that's so interesting that my ego is so needy for attention that it just wants to be engaged no matter what it is, right? Like, and that's my self-talk. My ego is so needy for that attention that it just doesn't know how to get my attention any other way than to create a Stephen King novel in my head where, it's like somebody would have to have, kind of shredded her and then taken her by the tail and flung her at the window, right? It's insane to think that my head would even conjure up this nonsense, but it does. And how do I counteract that? Is the minute I think about it, I'm like, now, this is my self-talk. Now, why would my ego want me to have that playing in my head as if that was going to be my reality, scaring the bejesus out of me, making me fearful and doubtful? Oh, yeah, because I'm exiting the matrix at lightning speed. So, of course, it wants to stop me from doing that because I'm on track with everything that is higher aligned, everything that is lined up for me, that's in a higher state of consciousness, right? The ego has to stop us in some way, shape, or form. And if you meditate on something long enough, it's bound to happen. So I know that I need to stop those thoughts ASAP, and I need to have a conversation with myself that says that's not my reality. My reality does not include that. Right? My reality does not include that. So I'm constantly looking for the higher timeline, the higher level everything, so that I'm creating from that higher level perspective, that higher level everything in every moment of what I do. Right? But it also means that I have to be present for the things that maybe I might not like those little silky rice moth worms or whatever they are. And they covered the floor in the kitchen. I mean, like, I spent an hour vacuuming them up and then another 2 hours looking for the source, and they haven't been back since, right? That's a clear message. It's almost like, the joke of the Armageddon message, right? Like where the rivers run out to the sea and everything dries up and the winds kick up and it's like, Armageddon is coming, right? Like I had these little things all over the kitchen floor. But it was a clear message. I said, well, what do these mean? What do they mean? Right? It's like when I had the Scorpio in my bathroom in the middle of the night. Now, what does this mean? We were having a Scorpio full moon at the time. Okay. So we have to sit there and we have to look and see what do these things mean? Because it wants to take us 99% of the time when we're having these moments that are presenting something, that are showing something. It's wanting us to realign with something, right? Like, I did not need to go to that doctor when I had the Bartholin cyst, but my ego was so strong and it wanted somebody to sympathize with me, somebody to empathize with me, right? And It was perfect. It was going to be a female, and she was going to understand, and she was going to take my side and do everything possible to help me. No, that did not happen. She did not care. She basically told me, she said, "You know what? I'm sorry, but I can't do anything for you. You don't have insurance, so see you later." Right? And then they sent me home because I couldn't put money in their deposit money in their bank account, right? I couldn't do that for them. And it forced me to understand I can do this myself. I can take control myself. But when I forget, when we forget, we turn to other things to alleviate the pressure that we're feeling, right? The pressure that we're feeling in the body. Well, this moon is going to help us move forward in this likeness. This moon is going to help push us forward. It's going to be a catapult for every single one of us in different ways because we're all going to be affected by it in some way, shape, or form. Some to a great extent, others not so much, right? But it's important for us to understand a couple of things that are coming through with this moon. And the first thing is that it's going to be offering us an opportunity to be liberated from contracts that we bound ourselves into or obligations that we bound ourselves into. Okay. The minute Joe said to me, "Do you want to stay on? You know, maybe you could pay some rent or whatever, and we work something out." It liberated me from an obligation that I felt that I had, that I was the, you know, caretaking the house. Now I don't have to be here anymore, is what it did, right? It like liberated me, and it was like, huh, I'm free to move about the building, but I have to recognize that. You know, this a lot of people said, "Oh, you know, why would you want to go anywhere else?" I don't know. Maybe there's someplace else out there to explore that I would love more than I love being here, right? I don't know. But in this dynamic with being liberated from a contract or an obligation, that's going to be a person of power in your life that's going to either have to give you an approval or a sign off on something in some way. And it's going to be an opportunity to break away, break free, or separate from someone in some way, shape, or form. Okay. And it ends obligations, whether it's through legal, karma, like what happened with me, emotional, or any other means. Okay. So this is one way that this energy right now is going to affect us regarding change. And, you know, it's funny because I actually heard somebody say this, that, you know, even something as simple as, you know, having a relationship with somebody and it being a very casual relationship, right? And you're both benefiting from it in some way. And then all of a sudden, this person comes to you and says to you, "I can't do this anymore. I met someone and I want to be in a relationship with them," right? That would be this. So, this is one way that the give and take changes, right? You're having to look at what needs to shift for you, what ends, what obligation, what contract, right? Could be on a spiritual level. One of the things that was very, very clear to me when I was going through this upgrade was that this time that we're in is all about ending soul contracts. Now, you know, it's like, oh, we've been saying that for such a long time, right? But we have to start to understand that as these energies shift on the earth, we're going to have to take this more serious, and whatever needs to go has to go. Whoever needs to go needs to go. Like there is no more hanging on. We can't do that because it's our self-preservation, right? We have to choose ourselves. Okay. And so one of the things that was important for me in this whole thing with Joe with the rent, was, and then he changed his mind and he didn't want to take rent from me. And I was like, you can't do that. You're changing the contract. You're changing the dynamic. And then he was like, but you know, we don't have to do that. And you know, you can just stay there. And I'm like, no, I can't, right? And everything inside of me is screaming like, do not do that. Don't accept those new terms. Pay the rent, right? Because it means staying stuck in stasis and having to visit this story until I finally get comfortable. And if I don't do it, if I don't do something about it, if I don't move through it, release it, relinquish it, renegotiate it, whatever, it's going to become awkwardly painful. And something is going to happen as a catalyst to change that. Right? So it has to be changed in some way, shape, or form. We have to start to see that and know that and be like, oh, okay, this is actually a great thing that he asked me for rent because it's changing the dynamic. The contract is changing here. And it's no longer the obligation of being a house sitter for him. It's no longer the obligation of taking care of the dog, right? It's no longer the obligation, excuse me, of taking care of anything because I'm free to move about the country now. Where would I like to go? What would I like to experience next? Right? I should tap into Gretchen for that because she's been everywhere. Right? But you know, the idea is now I get as present as I can because those little snippets, that little, you know, that little vignette is going to come through the viewfinder and I'm going to start getting that view of the snapshot of where that's going to be when the time comes, when it's ready. Probably not until March will I have an idea or know because that feels aligned, right? And when I looked at the energies for that, there is a huge full moon eclipse in the sign of Virgo that is going to be completing what started for all of us 12 years ago, but on a grander scale, what started for us last September 2024. And that was this, right? So that'll be interesting to see how this plays out. And this is for all of us, not just me, right? This is all of us in some shape or form. Now, the second way that this moon could create a shift is a messenger shows up for you with an important message. Now, it does not have to be a physical messenger. It could be news from somebody of importance, an important messenger, in an email or a telephone call, right? It could be something legal. It could be something, you know, tied to a new opportunity. It could also be in your dreams. I had that too. We're going to talk about that too in a little bit, right? Where I had this exchange with other souls, men, for the purpose of the next thing I'm supposed to experience in this physical. And I got to have a firsthand look at how new soul agreements work. Now, I've always known, but I never fully experienced it in the way that I did right after this upgrade event happened. The next thing that happened, I had this clear as day visual of that and the waking state in the etheric realm was extraordinarily powerful. So that gave me an understanding of how soul contracts are negotiated, and then to the degree that they're negotiated, right? Like right after I had that, I was having that awareness in the ethers and having this exchange as I was coming back into this reality, and Bella was laying on the bed next to me. We were waking up that morning. In my third eye, I saw her cat friend. I call him Bob because he has a bobbed tail. I saw her cat friend in the doorway of my bedroom looking in at us, and suddenly got an awareness that he was looking, assessing the situation. There's a possibility he might want to be integrating into my family dynamic, right? So then I have got in touch with Jen. For those of you that don't know, she's on the call tonight. Usually she can't make it, but she's here. She's an extraordinary animal communicator. I've used her many, many times. If you need help with any of your pets, please do not hesitate to book a session with her because she's really very good. And then I, tuned in with her, and then she said, oh, the same thing. I didn't tell her. I just told her what I saw. And she said the same thing. She's like, oh, I feel like he's assessing the situation because he might want to come in and be a companion for Bella. They seem to really hit it off and get along very well together. So now it's not just in the dream state that I'm getting the information, but it's actually arriving in the physical. Like I'm having the experience of like real time, this real time awareness, right? So things are changing, and we have to roll with these changes in a sense so we can be present for what is playing out and be aware. Whether or not it happens, it's his choice, right? And then I have to allow it, but he's got to make the decision first, right? So just the awareness that I have to it is powerful. Sue?
I had just a little thing happen. I think it was yesterday. And I didn't think that it was anything, but it kind of bothered me. So there's just this one little thing with my mom's estate. And she didn't get paid like some pension. Terry's in the back. He's going to tell me.
Hi, Terry.
And so anyway, we've been jumping through all the hoops for this company. Oh, here he is. He looks really nice. And I just wanted to stop doing this. Like I said, it's not worth it. The money is not worth it. I didn't think I was going to tell you that all this, but it's coming out. So now they want us, like nothing's ever good enough for them. So then they wanted a cause of death. So we finally got that. And we're leaving for the US in a couple days. So it came just in time. And the cause of death was sepsis. And I don't know why, but it bothered me that nobody told me the cause of death. And it could be that, when they do an autopsy, it can be different from what the doctors tell you. But it was like, how come nobody told me this? So don't know why it was bugging me. It's like, yeah. So anyway.
Well, it's discrepancies, and the ego likes everything in its nice little neat package, tied with a bow, right? The whole presentation of it and everything. But if you think about ways in which your soul is going to grow because you're already so deeply in the work, how is that going to happen if something doesn't come along and trigger you? Right? I used to be in that place where I needed some stuff outside of my reality to come in and just poke me so that I could be triggered, so that I could get triggered because nothing was triggering me, right? And I could get triggered and then I could resolve it. And it was like, oh, I didn't need to be upset about that at all because really it's irrelevant in the scheme of things.
It really is irrelevant, but yeah, like you say, it just triggered me. It was bugging me yesterday. Today it's fine, but yesterday it was like, what the heck?
Well, what you could do is you could do what I do. You could ask your ego, ego, why do we want to play this game? Why is it important? Why am I so triggered by this? And then do the exploration of it to see what that is, right? And that could be a little bit of that deceit playing out, that manipulation, the shaming, the blame, the whole, that's lower chakra energies, right? So see how that works into whatever it is that you're working with right now to see if some of that distortion needs to be released through that pathway.
I just, something came up when you were talking, and it was like, Terry wants to finish this up and get the money because the money is due to me. And I was like, I don't care about the money. And it's like, well, maybe you need to care a little bit about money. Maybe you need to accept money
Well,
as for you.
when we don't care about money, that's also can be the idea of lack, right? Like when we don't care about the money. So we want, because money is a vibration. Right? It's that vibration. So again, it's like the deserving. Do we want to constantly be in a state where, where we only have enough for XYZ, but we don't have enough for ABC? And then we find ourselves in, and I know you have a great community of, barter and everything else, but the universe is saying, hey, you need to have this money so you can learn how to be money. You understand? Because it's an energy.
It's like that. What was it last live class? You were talking about if somebody thinks they only deserve X, then that's all they'll get.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you have to start looking at this saying, like, yeah, I deserve that money. That money's, because what could happen here is that it's even more money than you thought it was going to be. Right. And then you're like, holy Hannah, look at this. It's twice the amount of money. Right. Because the, it's the illumination to the circumstances, and then the universe can resolve it in the highest way. But we have to resolve the resistance, right? It's like there's resistance to taking the money because in order to get the money, your mom had to pass. You see?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think this was anything, but it's like, wow, thanks.
Yeah. And that's a big one for people, right? Where like I'm due to get money, but the way I'm receiving it meant that mom had to pass or dad had to pass. And that's not okay with me. I don't want to take that money. It's tainted money because in order to get it, they had to go, right? But yet, at the end of the day, it's the soul contract, the soul's contracted for that experience so that you could enjoy the money at this time in your life. You understand?
Thanks, Maria.
Yeah, it's very, very powerful. So important. So important. That's when we can let go of the pain and the suffering, when someone that we love dearly passes, right? Like when my mom passed, it was devastating for me because I was on the verge of a divorce. I mean, she was in remission for like 2 years from leukemia through my work. And I wanted to move to North Carolina to be with her. And then she was in, needing to go home. My husband at the time wanted her to go home because we were having all kinds of problems and stuff like that. And then she goes home, and a month later, she has pulmonary embolism and she dies, right? And it was because they wanted to put the port for the chemo because her cancer came back when she went home. They wanted to put the port in her chest. And I was like, absolutely not. My guides are going big fat no, red flags, like all over the place. I was so upset. I was trying to call my brother and I called my client Glenn. And I left him this whole big voicemail, not even realizing, like, it wasn't even my brother's thing. I'm like, you can't let mommy have that port in her chest. You're down there with her. I'm not. I'll hop on the next plane. And, you know, but then, like, a week later, she was gone because my brother was, you know, he's in his own world, right? Like, very, very hard to understand that that is the consequences. However, what she did for me at the time was probably more than she could do in the living because she gave me some financial structure. It wasn't a lot. My mother didn't have a lot of money, you know, and she had a lot of debt. But the money that she did leave me gave me a little bit of a leg that I was able to get my life together and head through that divorce. And it meant such a difference to me that I didn't grieve her. I celebrated her and I appreciated her for what she was willing to do in the sacrificing of her leaving at that time because she was miserable. She was absolutely miserable being here. She didn't want to do the work. You know, Jen and I were having this conversation in her session where, you know, it's very hard to do the work and to be structured in the work. It's very easy to want to take like an Advil PM, right, Jen? And to take an Advil PM because you want to just medicate yourself and re remove the pain in the body. But when we do that, we're actually hindering the upgrades, right? So my mom didn't want to be here anymore. And the night that the morning, early morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, when I got the phone call that she was in emergency and they were trying to revive her, I was like, absolutely not. She's got a DNR. What are you kidding me? I was like, she did not want to be here. Let her freaking go. And it pained me. Did I grieve? Yes, I grieved. I cried. I felt frustrated. I had, you know, nobody had answers for me. I already knew how this whole thing worked, right? But I honored her decision in that moment, soul contracts being what they are, right? When a loved one departs, it's on their terms. It's not, you know, very few, you could say, are accidents, right? Down here, a cop, 27 years old, only on the force 7 years, a sheriff in one of the counties of one of Joe's friends, I think Broward County, down here in Florida, 27 years old, only a cop for 7 months. The guy that he was that he pulled over and stopped managed to get his gun away from him and shot him and killed him with his own gun and then got in his car and killed himself, right? It was a murder suicide. I look at that and you know I think like that is huge because it something in that was needed for that cop's family. Maybe they didn't come together in love in the way that they needed to. And he came back here because he had to play out the karma with this guy who took his life, right? In another lifetime, he took that guy's life. So in this lifetime, that guy had to take his life. And he made it so that every basis was covered, right? Because family members and friends and everything. I mean, the people that poured out for this funeral, it filled the stadium, touched the lives of so many, right? One death touched the lives of so many. And as much as people want to be mad at the young man that took this police officer's life, you know, I'm like, it's their karma, it's their soul contract. You know, that's how this works. It is what it is. We have to honor that. We can't be mad at it. When we're mad at it, it stops us, right? So I hope that makes sense when it comes to things like that. Let me just read this because Nancy sent me a message. I saw a medium, Laura, online. She helped me understand being single might be for me, and my guides in life are my grandfather and uncle watching over me. You've been amazing, and your recordings have helped me. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate knowing that. Yeah, you know, listen, I've been single. I don't know how, Loretta, how long have you known me? I don't know how long have I been single since you know me, right? So, and that goes back to Medford House. I don't know. That's got to be 2000. I think I tried dating in between my divorce, which started in 2013, finalized in 2018, and nothing successful because it just was not soul aligned. It wasn't meant, wasn't, nobody was a bad person or anything like that. And, you know, it was just wasn't meant to be, right? The souls weren't destined for that. But I've been single since, fully single, since probably about 2017, 2016, 2017. Loretta's saying she's been single since 2020, right? After going through a divorce. Now, it's a choice I make. And, you know, I just want to speak to this for a second because we make the choice. We make the choice because we're choosing ourselves. It doesn't mean we don't want to be with somebody because if there's somebody out there that you're meant to be with, you are not going to miss that person. That person's going to show up in your field. They're going to show up in your reality and you're going to have to go through that dance with them, whatever it is, right? But that person's also going to match whatever vibration you're at. So if I say to you, how do you feel about men? And you're like, yeah, all men suck. I have never met a good one. Well, then guess what? Every man that you meet after that is going to suck because that's your perspective on men and energy, energetically, that's what you're carrying. The minute you turn that love around and you're like, I love myself so freaking much, I invite a guy that matches me where the fuck I am because I want to know him, right? I want to meet him. He's got to be pretty spectacular, pretty awesome. That narrows the field. It goes just like that, right? And then what happens there? That field is so narrow that that the universe is like, all right, we're still working on it to get that vibrational alignment, right? Because like the amount of people that are in the highest alignment on the planet might not be there yet, right? And that's okay. But the idea is also that while men are healing the divine masculine, which has been shredded by women. It's been torn apart by the women's liberation movement and all that bullshit with Gloria Steinem, right? Putting men down and men are not needed and we can do the same job and we should be in the military and we should do it's bullshit. That's not what we're here for. Divine feminine. That people have misconstrued all of that. Okay. And that's why women are suffering now because we've put ourselves in this position where we're just in a place of suffering because we don't know how to be vulnerable anymore. We've moved ourselves so far out of vulnerability, we don't know how that feels. We don't know what to do with that. How do I be vulnerable to somebody that I think is an asshole because he doesn't know how to talk to me? Well, he doesn't know how to talk to you because nobody's teaching him. Right. But if we yield a little bit and we get vulnerable and then we can have this conversation back and forth together. Could be in its perfection, right? So we have to be careful with that too. And, you know, uphold that part of it because it's us. Everything is us. It all comes down to our vibration and our frequency, no matter what. I choose to be single because I'm actually living my best life. And I get to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, where I want to do it. You know, if I want to paint, I'm going to paint. I don't have to worry about cooking anything for anybody else, right? I've done that service. I don't feel like I need to do it again. I learned so much about myself from the marriages that I held. And I was in, you know, I had three marriages. No, Loretta, he was 2020. Yeah. But even that, like I met this guy, right? Through somebody in the spiritual community that thought, like, this guy, you know, he was the cream of the cream. He was, you know, above reproach. You guys are such a match and everything else. You know what he talked to me about? Sex toys all the time. That's all he cared about. We never even got past a kiss. I kissed him once and I was like, you know what? I can't do this because this is not authentic in the higher time, right? Loretta can tell you, she remembers. And I'm like, what the hell is with this guy? Every time I turn around, he wants to talk about sex. I'm like, listen, I'm not a prude, but you let's not talk about that right now. Like we haven't even gotten there yet, right? So we have to set the precedent for ourselves and what it is that we truly desire to have in our life. And I know we're jumping all over the place, but if you have a question, just shoot it out to me and I will do my best to answer it. So these are all new cycles, right? And each cycle is bringing a powerful message for us, and it's going to be on an individual level so that we can clear something that we need to clear that we have not yet worked on or that we have not done. Okay, so the third way that this energy, this big, powerful super moon, I mean, it's the biggest moon we've had this year and probably the last couple of years that we had, is also going to be a catalyst for new beginning if you're supposed to have one, right? And it doesn't mean that you're going to have that new beginning right here, right now. It's going to start today or tomorrow, whatever, right? But think unexpected plot twist. You're reading the novel of you. And it's a little bit of a mystery with a little bit of coziness and some magic mixed into it. And then there's a plot twist, and you're like, what? I did not see this coming, right? Like when I got pulled to Florida. No. And Loretta will tell you because she had her feelers out looking for places for me. Her niece had her feelers out looking for places for me. Nothing was manifesting. Okay. Did I think I was coming in? Nope. Plot twist. Guess where I am? Florida, right? So think unexpected plot twist, think liberation, new path. Might also have some old stagnant energy behind it, right? Because this, the time that we're in is a water trine, meaning that three signs are impacted that are holding water, that are, or three planets impacting the sign of Scorpio that are really pushing that water up, right? It's like a tidal wave, right? Comes into the beach, slams into you, and you go flying to another continent somewhere. Right? And then you're like, you wake up on the beach of another place and you're like, how did I get on Bali? Right? And you're like, holy Hannah, like, what is this? Maybe you were supposed to be in Bali all along and you just didn't want to hear it. Wasn't resonating with you. Didn't feel aligned because your ego was in the way, right? Unconscious human driving the bus. Think physical, emotional, cleansing, purging, right? It's like resisting letting go of somebody, right? Whether it's a relationship, a friendship, a divorce, right? The universe is gonna show you. It's gonna show you. And it'll be a real slap in the face, like, wow, they did not show up for me at all, but I show up for them every single time. I don't need that. I don't want that in my life, right? And it calls you back to reality. And then you're like, what was I doing? What was I thinking? Why was I knocking myself out in the way that I was when I didn't need to do that, right? And also, like I said, it could be a shift where that timeline picks you up and puts you down someplace else, and you're like, what just happened? Now I'm in the land of Oz, right? So we have to be prepared for that. Now, the fourth way that we can experience this energy is through a mental and emotional well-being shift, which means that maybe we start to take on a new process, right? Maybe we start Tai Chi, Qigong. Maybe we sign up with a new mentor and start cranial sacral healing. And then we start to use it on horses and animals and everything else, right? And we didn't think we were going to like it because it was hands-on and we didn't want to do Reiki. But then all of a sudden, this is very aligned and feels very called to, right? Or maybe somebody triggers us, like Sue, and then we have a shift out of that emotional state and we can see, oh, I wasn't seeing, I didn't have the clarity. I was so focused on this when I needed to focus on that, or maybe not be focused at all, right? And then we can have these breakthroughs, these mental breakthroughs, these emotional breakthroughs. But it requires the work. We have to do the work. We have to keep calling ourselves back away from that Stephen King horror movie. where the cat gets splattered against the glass all bloody, and then we're like, right? And think, why would I want to think that? Right? Why would I want to think that? Do I feel like that's my reality? No, I really don't. Right? Or I think, oh, I want to go out and see the stars. And I'm like, oh, what if somebody's hiding in the bushes? What if somebody's standing around the corner? Right? Why am I creating that? Ego, can you tell me why I'm creating that? Right? Like, I don't want to create that. Right? So we have to really be present for that. Now, the fifth way is something that's hidden suddenly gets illuminated, right? Scorpio, the sign of secrets, could be a personal situation, circumstance. Like Sue found out it was sepsis, thought it was something else, right? Illumination, because that's what Scorpio does. It illuminates what is. It pushes us to change. It forces change. It's erratic and unpredictable, and it demands we change. So this moon is bringing through these cycles that are just wanting us to make changes in our life, right? Do the things that need to be changed. Nancy, did you have a question? I saw your hand up.
Well, I was just gonna, elaborate on what I said before. I've actually never been married and no kids. I was a swim coach and just teaching kids how to swim all the time, and I called it the loner program. And
Okay.
when I went to the medium, it was just really funny because, like, with my career and stuff, she's like, your spirit guides are saying basically like shit or get off the pot. And I decided, to go back and try back at comedy in 2026, but I turned 50. And so I'm kind of using my being single for 50 years that now I'm an expert. So I can do a whole comedy skit on being an expert single person. And turning 50, it's my year to celebrate me because I've never had a wedding. I've never had a baby shower. I've never graduated college and had that, big party. So it's my 50th is my party. And then I'm trying to see if I, if I did change careers and just did comedy a little more, I could see if I could try to go on tour in 27, because I did get offered a tour when I was in Atlanta, but I turned it down. I don't want to be a Ron White, but I want to be the opener for $1,000 a week and all my expenses paid, and I get to see Paris, London, and have a roommate taking care of the cats at home,
It would be the perfect opportunity for you, but something else that's coming through to me, I don't know, this is just me and my work. What I'm receiving is that you've been there, done that many, many lifetimes, and you weren't here to do that. You weren't here to have the big wedding, the marriage, and all of that other stuff, right? Every relationship that you've ever had was meant to push you back into you at a deeper level because you're here to come back into the deepest self-love. That's the one thing that needs to be mastered. Choosing you. So this time for you is all about that. That's why you did not choose the family. You didn't choose the marriage. You didn't choose the big hoopla, graduation, college, all of that sort of stuff. You didn't do that. Okay. So that it's not. So if you really sit with this, okay, if you really sit with this, and you really let yourself feel the feels into this, you're gonna see that that's your truth. And you're gonna when it hits you at its depth, you're gonna realize, I'm not missing anything. And I might have been pining away thinking that I was missing something, but I'm not. And I'm gonna let that go. And that's when you're gonna really soar.
Yeah, there's this country song I've been listening to saying like my life is great. Like, what am I complaining about? Like, life is great right now. And I've been listening to it, and I got this new like it's like a punching thing that you put on the wall and you punch at, and you can put your own music to it, and it's right next to my hot tub. So like, and now I have this like punch at night, jump in the hot tub, watch a movie, go to bed. You know, like, and that's why I don't want to get a roommate right now. The only in the back of my mind is that the only way I'll get a roommate is if like I find another struggling comedian that like really needs a room that could like benefit to bounce off of, you know, like
Well, you
but
once you realize that that was the illusion that the unconscious human came in under, the illusion that we played in 3D, we grow up, we get married, we have the kids, we have a successful career. That's the illusion of 3D. When you start to realize that you came in without that need, that you really will realize you are truly not and have never ever been missing anything. You came here into this reality to create.
I coached two kids to the Olympics and a dozen to scholarships in college, and that to me is my legacy. So else, that's my now I'm helping me.
That's a big legacy.
Yeah,
Yeah,
thanks.
that's cool. Thanks for sharing that. Joanne?
I just want to say that whole conversation is for me too.
Oh, that's great.
The whole thing is for me too. Everything you just said to Nancy, everything you said about yourself, about being single, not missing nothing. But you know what? I'm a little bit older than some of these people here. My big thing right now is that I don't want to meet an older man anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Here's the thing, right? We're going to meet the people we need to meet
Correct.
until we understand we don't need anything.
Correct.
But to have somebody come in that could complement us, love us as much as we love ourselves, that's when we meet that other person that really sets our life on fire. But it's not going to happen unless we start to really love ourselves first. Because even when that person comes in, the worst thing we could do would be to stop focusing on ourselves and sacrifice ourselves, putting ourselves second for that other person, because they will lose favor with us. We will no longer vibrate at that rate that they first met us when we vibrated so high and so magically, right? We will no longer be vibrating and they will lose interest in us because we're not the same person that they were interested in.
I
It's
know.
all the vibration. You want somebody that is going to roll out the red carpet, let's say, we're going to just use that as t for terminology's sake. You have to be the one to roll out the red carpet for yourself.
Well, I think that is especially for me. I also just wanted to share something. I've also listened to Carl Jung, Edgar Cayce. And one of them had this whole big thing about women in the 20th century, single women doing what you're doing. It was all about that. And he spoke about that getting to know themselves. He spoke about all that in the 1800s. Just so interesting.
I mean, I'm coming to a point because of the work I've been doing and so much real deep soul work that I've been doing. And it's not any different than what I'm asking you all to do here, that I'm really just finding such great joy in my life and in my day-to-day and in my being. It's really illuminating for me the deeper truth of what makes me happy, because along the way, as we're growing up, we're influenced by so much. The other thing that I wanted to talk about real quick and tap into real quick is that we're influenced by technology, right? The frequencies in the house, coming through the air conditioner, the dehumidifier, the heating system, whatever it is that's on, the refrigerator, whatever, okay? it is toned, it is tuned to the density, to the low distorted frequency of that 440 vibe, right? That is depression. It's our job to bypass all of that and get the hell out of it, okay? But if we don't know any better, we're going to be in the flow of what is because we don't know that the matrix that we're in, this simulated reality that we're in, is humming with its own vibration. We have to vibrate higher. We have to make it a point, which you're going to hear me talk about in a little bit when I get into the story of what happened last weekend, that we do not subscribe to what the reality tells us to do. We do not, because we pull ourselves out of that and we pull ourselves up into the next highest level. And we have to keep doing that.
You know, just listening to Carl Jung or Edgar Cayce, apparently what you're teaching us is not a new thing. I just don't think people knew about it, or people didn't want to hear about it.
I never studied them. I mean, you
Oh,
know,
I'm just listening to YouTube. It's just,
I don't know, but I know that this flows through me as
well,
my
which is
truth.
it's what it's not the same, but the idea about women.
Yeah.
Listen to a
Well,
whole thing about that.
all of it's created intentionally to, it's like a stumbling block. You know, otherwise we would get to the finish line too fast and the game wouldn't be fun, right?
Right.
The soul wouldn't grow and it wouldn't learn,
And I
right?
think that the media wasn't around back then, so people did not have access to that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And now you have brought it all here and brought it out, but I think it was always. There were
Right.
people around that always had the same.
But they were also downplayed. They were
They were
also
downplayed.
cast a lot of negativity toward
Correct.
them
Correct.
as looking at things from a skewed perspective, right? Because they didn't want us to see the truth.
Correct.
If we saw the truth, we'd exit the game.
Right.
The whole
Right.
thing is set up in that way.
But it's always been. It was just, it's so interesting. And I said, gee, you know. This is not new stuff. It's just that people are accepting it now and people are looking.
But people have to want something different.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah. I just had to share that because
Thank you.
I'm really looking deeply into so many aspects. I have so many different things going on in my life that I really should set up a session, but I am just trying so hard to keep my life head on.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, when you're ready, it'll happen.
And do the work. And I just wanted to share something quickly with Sue. Okay. So when my father passed away, the death certificate said he died basically from that fancy word for dementia. He didn't die from dementia. Okay. So for months, I tried to call the nursing home to try to get clarification because that triggered me. But you know what? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I let it go. So I just understood where when Sue said she was a little triggered by that, I understood how she felt. I just wanted to share that. He's
Good.
done. It
Thank
doesn't
you.
matter. Thanks,
Yes.
Marie.
You're welcome. Thank you for sharing. Gretchen?
Hi. I just want to touch base. I literally am in Florida for work on two programs back to back. Port Charlotte, if you know where that
Fourth
is.
Charlie, yeah.
Yes.
I never knew
Four
where that
people
was.
there.
Yeah. And I literally, I don't know if you can see, I literally just got out of the hospital an hour ago.
I saw that on your hand, yeah.
And I have been in the hospital for the last 72 hours. And in the in-between day, and I'm just, I guess, checking in, is it the energies? You know, because 3D world is just going to be like, oh my God, go, something's wrong with you. And I'm like, is this the grief of my parents passing? And it's the time of year again, is right now when all this
Yeah.
happened.
Well, that would be this Scorpio new moon. It's bringing up all of that water, the emotions that maybe you have not fully worked through.
Well, I
Well,
haven't. We
can you
know.
say what you were in the hospital for?
Oh, you know me, open book me. Yeah. So I anyway, I was doing laundry. It was a turn day, meaning 500 people had just left from around the world. We had a day and a half off. The next 500 come tomorrow. And I was doing laundry in a friend's suite that had a washer and dryer. So walking back to my room, and I was like tapping myself, but I do that a lot for self-soothing, for the lack of a better word, trauma, PTSD. I find myself doing that a lot.
Okay.
Trying not to label, but yeah, I do do that. And I got back to my room, put my computer on the couch. It was like 2 o'clock. And all of a sudden, my Apple Watch went off and said, which I don't pay attention to that stuff anyway, but it was like a heart thing. And it said, your heart rate has been over 120 for standing rate over 10 minutes. I was like, okay, that's weird, whatever that was. And then 10 minutes later, boom, my wrist went off again. Your heart rate's above 120. And then the third time it did it, I'm like, oh God, I'm on a work trip. I should probably tell someone. So I just called my friend. I just said, hey, just so I'm not in my room and no one knows, but my Apple Watch is telling me my heart rate's high. She's like, oh, why don't you just come over here so you're not alone? So I went over. And then by the time I got there, it was 148. And the security, there's always security teams on these trips. And it was a turn day, but they had to be made aware because I'm on a corporate program. And they said, we're taking you to the ER. So I went in. By the time I got on, it was 158. And then I was put in the ER Sunday night, and with just extremely high heart rate. They did two AKGs. So then, me in my head, I'm like, is the energies? What's happening? All the plasma, all the freaking aurora borealis. Is it the my body can't integrate it quick? Like I've got all that in my head, but I'm also still going to check. I don't want to have a heart attack. So I'm in there, and of course, I'm also thinking a year ago. Literally, these 3 days, my dad was in the hospital having all his tests, doing the exact same stuff before the big operation. Oh my God, the odds. And anyway, so I just got out tonight. I've had CAT scans, chest X-ray, five procedures. I've had millions of
Nothing wrong with your heart.
it was SVT, whatever, super high cardio, whatever. No one knows what causes it. Today I had an angiogram. Like I had the freaking blood dye into my heart procedure on a table today because they're like, we have to check your heart. And no offense to anyone that lives in Port Charlotte, but I'm like, I'm from like Minnesota, Mayo Clinic, where I know my people. I'm like, I don't, is this a little hospital? Do I really want someone going into my heart? But they did today. And my heart is thank because I could have had my dad's heart. My dad had 14 stents. And so I'm just like, oh God, well, I don't even understand why this is happening. It's a
But
dream. But
you didn't choose that. But
no.
again,
I'm home, and then you guys are online tonight, and I'm like, okay, here I am. I'm back in my weird hotel room. I had this weird 72 hours. I found out that I have my heart is fine, thank God, other than they can't understand why I have extremely high heart rate.
because you're unhappy with how you're circulating in your life.
Okay.
So the heart rate is high when you're not happy about how you're circulating in your life. Okay. And it's met by these higher light frequencies. And now we're in this Scorpio water trine energy in this super new moon. And it wants you to release, relinquish, realign the passing of your parents. And it's
Yeah.
bringing you back to your dad, which was the start of all of that
Literally the same
happenstance.
day I'm in the hospital.
I know, I remember our conversations during the community talks where your father was going to be going in and you were worried about your mom and if something happened to him and all this other stuff, And you know what?
Is it just time to process, and this is all just part of it, and the energies are bringing it up? I mean, that's what I'm doing.
It's time to process it because there's a part of you that's in resistance to it because it means that you have to surrender to that. And sometimes it's really, really hard to reconcile that they're gone. And it's also hard to reconcile too that they chose to go the way that they did. There was something that needed to be played out, could have been played out any other way, but in that moment, that other person also needed to have an experience in that moment, in that way. And they all made a soul agreement and said, good, we're going to do this all together, and this is how it's going to be. right? To the shock and dismay of all of you left behind, that's how they did it. The soul is not thinking about the consequences in the physical world. It's not thinking that. It's thinking, I need to satisfy this soul agreement. I need to satisfy this. We cannot put the burden on our children. Well, you know what? I don't want to be without you. You don't want to be without me. We're just going to do this and we're going to go together. Right? And then everybody left behind is in a state of suffering because human consciousness does not understand the soul. It does not understand soul agreements, although I'm starting to very much understand that now. Okay, it doesn't understand that. So maybe this is a message for you that it's time to jump into some work, that maybe you need to go a little bit deeper with this. Maybe you need to, to have a little bit of a process, Or maybe tonight you're going to go to sleep and it's all going to resolve because you're going to be like, yeah, I haven't been wanting to look at this, but now it's in my face and I can't not acknowledge it. And the truth of the matter is I could be as mad as I want to be, but I never would let myself be mad at my parents that they did it this way. And that's really what my anger is about, that they did it like that and didn't consult me first to see if I would be okay, right? And I'm not making fun of this. I'm not.
No,
So
I'm
please
looking at
forgive, like, if it sounds like I'm making a joke, because I'm not.
it.
But, like, that's the soul talking to the human. And the human is like, I do not consent. And the soul's like, but it's the perfect way to do this. And the human is like, but it's not perfect for me. Right. And then the soul would think, like, well, if we had thought about that, I guess we could have done it in a different way. But the truth of the matter is that there's something that they knew, which made them opt for this pathway that they chose that you were not privy to.
Yeah.
So, and that might have meant, I'm sorry to say this, but it might have meant that your father would have passed in the surgery and you would have had to care for your mother, and it would have changed your life even more dramatically than your parents passing together,
I
if
wouldn't
that
be
makes
sitting
sense.
here working, talking to you right now, that's for sure.
Do,
Yeah.
yes.
Anyway, I just find it interesting with the energies and the moon and the timing of this. Literally
Yeah.
all started this week, last year.
It's forcing
I
you.
woke
If
up and
you.
I'm like, I'm in a hospital bed having an angiogram. Are you fucking kidding me? I'm
So
like,
you're.
was this even real?
Yeah, so you are, one second here.
I was sitting by
Let me,
in a room with other people because there was no space, real quick. And I
yeah.
did have time to notice. They moved me finally because I actually started getting high anxiety because there was so much traffic. But I'm in this room with a 97-year-old woman with her 70-something-year-old children that were there 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. And it's like I was watching a show for 2 full days, like a reality
Yeah.
show. And I just saw the love of this family for their mother. And I could take myself out of myself and just be like, observe this beautiful relationship among an aging mother and these really beautiful people that loved
Yeah.
each other and loved her. And I don't know, it just made, anytime that happens or you see a young person go by in a wheelchair, you just are like, I'm here, I'm lucky, I'm alive.
It's
So it's
a
fun to shift.
water t tidal wave right now. It's a tsunami. Understand it is a freaking tsunami right now. Okay. New begin, we're being pushed to new beginnings. If that means a consciousness shift, how is it going to come? Maybe it's going to come because your heart rate is so high and you have to think about, like, what does that mean? What does that mean? Oh, Maria says it's because I feel like I'm not circulating my life. Has my life, have I stopped living in my fullness since my parents passed?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Okay, so this is where you get back on track. You understand? Listen, I'm with you, sister. Like, I am so with you. My mother passed, and it was like my world fell apart, right? But I am never And I will say this to you guys, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be doing this work with this community, but if we go another month, another year, another 10 years, I don't know, right? Everything changes so dramatically. One thing I can promise you, you are never not going to get your truth when you come here. You're never not going to get your truth. You might not like what you hear, and like I said in the beginning, you might do what I had to do with my mentor, my teacher, she was like my bestie, even though we weren't besties, but she was the person. I would listen to everything she said, take notes, pull it apart, write, do the work and everything, and keep coming back for more because she was the only one telling me the truth, right? I'm not going to give you the flowers and the fluff. That is not going to move you forward, right? I do not want anybody here falling down because they cannot do the work or did not do the work or don't know how to do the work. Right? I'm here to uplift you. We're going together and you're eventually going to do it. I'll say it 1,001 different freaking ways till somebody sent it, till it finally sets in. But we're going to do this.
Yeah,
Okay?
I'm so grateful for all of you. And yeah, it always resonates. And it's what are the odds? I open my computer, I'm like, oh, it's Wednesday. And I literally just walked in the
And
doors.
I wasn't going to do a live. And then at the last minute, because of the upgrade I had, I'm like, we're going to do a live because people need to be here. People need to be on this, right? Thank you for sharing that and
Thanks, everybody.
letting us do the work together. Yeah.
Dig
So
deep. Tune in. Keep
it's
tuning.
deep. Well, listen, Jen, I want you to come on and talk with me.
Okay.
Because Jen has been doing two sessions every week. And, it's because she's really wanted to move herself forward and out of the place that she's been stuck in. And she said, what's the fastest way to do that? Because she was already doing one session a week. I was like, do two sessions a week and put your commitment in there and really get the work done, right? And one of the sticking factors for her is that she has a hard time dealing with the pain in her body and all of that sort of stuff. Unbeknownst to me, taking things like Advil PM to help her sleep at night, which is a no-no, right? But she didn't know that. And she said to me, because we had a session like right after I went through that crazy upgrade and we talked a little bit, and she said, how come I don't have these upgrades like you? How come I don't go? And she's very gifted, very intuitive. How come I don't go through these upgrades like you do? And I said, because you're self-medicating.
This is
Because
true.
you're taking Advil PM, it's like somebody drinking wine or alcohol plummets the consciousness right into 3D. Right. I know Joe Dispenza is a big proponent of drinking a glass of wine, but that's a bunch of bullshit. Okay. He's disinformation, which means he's got good information on one hand, but he's got shitty information on the other hand. Okay. And so he's gonna put you in the state of perpetual bliss, and then he's gonna drop you into 3D. So you need to keep coming back to Joe Dispenza, right? Like, this is the game. This is how it works. You got to wake up and you got to see the truth here. Okay. And so, Jen, what happened, Jen? What did you do?
Okay, so I stopped the medication. I actually have been in pain for like 3 weeks. And like I said, Marie and I have a session at least twice a week all the time. Honestly, I can be a very hard client to deal with. She's told me the same thing over and over again. She'll tell you time and time again.
Like most people I work with, like most people, so you are not alone here.
Yeah, so I know, and I do the work. I do step away. And like for me, I think it took like she has to say the same thing to me at least 10 or 15 times for me to get it. I'm gonna be honest with you, that's how many times it takes, I think. But like I had this issue of like always, like I guess minding other people's business besides my own. I had issues with just, always wanting things a certain way. So we had to work through things by peeling off the onion of me
of, who am I? Like, who is my personality and stuff. So we worked through that. And now I'm at the point where, like, I need a session. Money comes in like crazy. I don't know. It just comes in automatically. And then, like, I have a session. And then the other thing is, like, my body was so achy. And, like, we had the session. I'm like, why is my body so achy? She's like, well, you just stopped the medication, you're clearing things. And now I'm going through this huge upgrade, just clearing everything from my body. And it's challenging. It's challenging going through the aches. It's challenging going through the pains. I do meditate, though, to sit and find out why I'm having these pains. And I do just the other day, today exactly, I saw like a noose around my neck and then my husband pulling me from my neck as he's walking with the noose. So that was pretty interesting. So, meaning that I don't stand up for myself, I'm not standing up for, like, what I want and kind of just going with the whole situation. So that's what I'm finding. You have to do the work, you have to do the sessions. They really do carry you. I mean, yes, I have gifts and stuff like that, but still, I wouldn't be where I am if I didn't sit here and do these sessions all the time. It's just moved me so far, so quickly.
Yeah, and now your energy is starting to line up with where your consciousness is because you were blocking your energy by taking the Advil PM.
So now I'm just resorting to like a bath or like she said, like the spray magnesium.
Magnesium spray. Yeah, you can take an Epsom salt bath that clears the aura field. It's amazing for the aura if you have a bath. The magnesium spray. But Jen is a byproduct of not taking a supplement when you don't feel good. And that's what we're going to talk about next, right? Loretta. Yeah, I know. I'm calling on you. Yeah. When you don't feel good, what do you do?
I usually take a shower and then go lay down.
Yep.
The
Now
shower helps me, feels like it clears, and then I'm able to relax and go.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have to sit up halfway, but I still in my bed in my pod.
Yeah. Yeah. No medication, guys. No medication. You guys got to start being kind to your bodies. I can't hear that you're taking medication because what that's saying is that you're not trusting your body to do what it needs to do. You're not trusting your body to talk to you, to tell you, hey, you feel this what I'm doing? You feel me poking you in the hip? Yeah. Well, I'm poking you in your right hip because you want to be supported by somebody else in order to move forward. But really the only person you need to be supported by moving forward is you. Well, I prefer not to do that. I prefer to have somebody else support me, throw money at me, make my life easier, help me move forward in whatever way. And you know what the body says? The consciousness, the soul says, you don't get to do that. It doesn't happen that way. You don't get to do that. You have to choose you, right? Because we all came in here to choose ourselves first. But every time we're choosing something outside of ourselves because we don't think we're enough, the body gets mad and it goes into resistance and then it wants to fall apart on you because it wants you to surrender to complete rest and sit on your butt and not do anything because now you've poked it and you've made it mad and it doesn't want to work for you. It doesn't want to move on your behalf anymore, right? Because you're mean to it because you think you need to lose weight, you need to change the way you look, you need to do all kinds of crazy things. And the body is saying, I want to rest, I want to rest, but you're out there doing some strenuous exercise or running 50 miles or something like that, right? And your body's like, but I just want to rest. And you're like, no, we have to keep going because we have to take this weight off, we have to keep going. Or you have pain. Oh, I have pain in my shoulder, my right shoulder is killing me. Instead of tuning into your body and being like, hey, shoulder, why do we have pain? What is this pain about? Right? We're like, nope, we're going to just pop an Advil. We're going to pop a Motrin. And then months later, the pain's still not going away. You know what happened to me? I went to a dentist This is going back in like 2005 or 2006, went to a dentist and got a really deep cleaning. This guy cut away so much of my gums and then wanted me to take a toothbrush and scrub my. Have you ever done that with like raw gums? I couldn't even, my head hurt so bad from scrubbing my teeth with this teeth toothbrush when my gums were so inflamed and hurt so bad. And I was just like, I can't. And he said, I'm going to write you a prescription for Motrin for 6 months of Motrin, but it shouldn't take 6 months. I was like, dude, I am not taking Motrin for 6 months, right? I do not take stuff like that. That's going to kill your liver. Like, why would I want to put that toxicity in my body? Do you know he died 8 months later from Crohn's disease? He was a very angry individual. He abused my mouth, in my opinion, because he was so angry in his life, right? We have to really stand up for ourselves and we have to stand up for our bodies because when we don't do that, the body gets mad at us. Like now, Gretchen's body is saying, hey, you need a time out, sister. You need a time out. You need sabbatical. You need fun in the sun somewhere or somewhere cozy. Get yourself a cup of tea, get your journal, do some meditation, go within, find forgiveness, find self-love, and let go. And release what's not yours, what you're holding on to that is, in the scheme of things, would not make sense on a soul level, but makes sense to the human because the ego is in the way and the unconscious human is forward instead of the conscious human, right? We have to start paying attention to this type of stuff because now these energies, well, guess what? We've had so much plasma. If you're watching the stuff I'm posting, we've had so much plasma, the photos are not even clear, right? I can't get a clear photo of anything. My cat looks pixelated, like I did that intentionally so I could paint her, right? That is not my truth. There's so much radiation out there right now in the field. We're all being blasted as if we were getting radiation for cancer treatment. That's why most of us are feeling lethargic and tired. Skin hurts. The crown is extra sensitive. I had this yesterday. I'm like, why is my scalp hurt me so bad? Like, why is my scalp so sensitive? I don't know. Could be because the radiation blasts that are coming in from the sun, from the solar system, right? You have to pay attention. You have to really be present for the body. Stop paying attention to everything that's unimportant and start really investing in tuning into the body. The body needs you because it needs you now. These energies are very unforgiving and they're going to continue to be even more unforgiving. Okay. Tamara's the last question, and then I'm going to get into what happened just in case you have questions on that because we're going to run a little bit late. Tamara?
Yes, I just wanted to say, I'm driving now. What Jen said about being stubborn, I've been seeing Maria since 2019. I know her. And I'm still going over the same thing about my son. I know that it's his journey, and I know if I feel sorry for him, I'm sending him victimhood energy. But it's not just like I'm away from him and haven't seen what he's being tortured where he is, seeing handcuffed. I mean, every time I think of him, I just can't get this sad feeling away.
Yeah, that's because the human is in the way looking at it, going like, he's being tortured, he's being harmed, he's being this. And from a soul perspective, the soul within him is going, isn't this great? Isn't this great? This is so exciting. I can't believe they handcuffed me. Right? But the human on the outside goes like, oh my God, he's handcuffed, he's in jail. But the soul is having the time of its life through the experience that your son is having. It's just the human perception, right? It's like souls talking in the ethers, saying, hey, I'm going to Afghanistan. what are you doing this time around on Earth? And oh, I'm going to Afghanistan too. Oh, really? Yeah. What did you choose this time to wear? Well, I thought I'd go, and I'm supposed to step on an IUD and blow off both my legs. I thought that that would be something interesting to help me heal judgment. Oh yeah, that's amazing. I'm going to do something similar, except it's going to be an arm and a leg from the same side. So I'm going to do something different. And then they go into the war and they step on the IUD and they blow off their legs, or they blow off the arm and the leg on the same side. And then now it's not the soul that's enacting that anymore. It's the human. And the human has to work through that on an emotional level, because they are here to heal the distortion of judgment. And so every time you look at Kenny and you feel like he's being abused or mistreated or anything else, that's a judgment. And so you have to look at, where do you hold judgment of yourself at not being enough, right? I maybe it's in needing to look a certain way or act a certain way or be a certain way or dress a certain way, right? You work for the airlines, they expect you to look a certain way, wear your hair a certain way, do things a certain way. And you're okay with that. You're in alignment with that, right? Because it's what you've trained yourself to be. Now look at your childhood and go back and say, is that how my childhood trained me to be this way, that I'm so focused on the shoulds and shouldn'ts that I shouldn't everything outside of myself, including myself. Right? We could spend a whole class doing that. You understand? So when we look at this, and you're going to hear me tell you in a few minutes what it's really about with the body and the soul and everything else, we have to let go of those perceptions. We have to. You have to do what I do with my cat. She's still out there. It's almost 9 o'clock. It's pitch black, but I'm like, yeah, she's okay so far. No body against the window. Everything is good, right? I'm not having my Stephen King night tonight because I don't want that. It's not something that I feel like I need to deal with, right? So you have to do that with yourself too, and be like, you know what? This is his choice. It's what the soul is here for. And that's his experience. And I don't know what's really happening. I'm assuming that he's miserable. I'm assuming he's uncomfortable. I'm assuming this. Sometimes the human in that condition that Kenny's in goes into an altered state so that it can be in the existence it needs to be in, so that the soul can have the experience it's having. We don't always know the reason. I mean, we could go in and do a soul reading and see, but we don't always know. Does that make sense, Tamara?
He's not good, but that's his human. I know, but he is there.
But you could keep telling yourself that, and you're going to ground into that reality very, very deeply. That creation is yours. Every time you tell yourself he's not good, every time you're creating, you're anchoring more of that footprint into that reality.
Right, yeah, I understand. I have to stop.
You have to stop yourself from doing that.
Yes, and picture him in a good place and feel it
Well,
and.
it's not just picturing him in a good place. You have to do the self-talk that says that. What if that's not his truth? What if that's not his reality? And I just think that that's his reality. That's my projection of what I perceive or believe it should be. Right? And
Yes.
it's triggering you because of what you're here to work on. Yes, you see?
Yes, it is triggering me. It's
I
horrible.
know. Let it trigger you. Instead of being angry to it, let it trigger you. Maybe cry about it. Let yourself process
I
the
do.
emotions.
I do every day.
Yes, but you're not doing the self-talk to really anchor in the new perspective, the new perception. Right? You're just creating energetically. You've got this ball of energy that says Kenny is suffering. And you just keep focusing on that. Kenny is suffering. Kenny is suffering. And the ball gets bigger. And the
Yes.
ball gets bigger. And the ball gets bigger. And the ball gets bigger. And the ball gets bigger until the ball is so freaking overwhelming because you've created this mass of energy. It fills your house. It fills your car. It fills your room. It fills your world. And your world is Kenny is suffering. And then that's the reality that you're creating everywhere you go.
That's true. Most of some days, some days I don't, but lately it's been a little more than it used to be.
Start doing the work.
Okay.
Really, don't say yep.
Yeah, I will.
Do it. Because otherwise, this is how it works. You're gonna get sick and taken offline, so you are forced to focus on yourself. That's how this works. You're gonna get sick and forced to focus on yourself. Don't do that.
Okay.
Do the work. Be the work. It just feels hard. It's not hard once you start doing it and you stick it. You just have to do it. Force yourself to do it. Otherwise, the
I
other.
just want to say to Tamara, you can do this. I did it. I did it. You can do it. Love you.
I love you. Thank you, Susan.
Yeah, you have everybody's support here in the community, Tamara.
Thank you.
But you don't need anybody but you. You have to love yourself more. You want to suffer with him. It's not your plight to suffer. He created this for whatever reason, right? He created this. But you're willing to self-sacrifice. If you could shift your energy into a higher frequency, into a higher vibration, you would actually lift him out of suffering. But you have to want to see that.
Yes, I do.
Okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. I
Thank you,
know
Susan.
you understand, and I know you're going to do the work, right?
Yes, I will.
Okay. All right. This work is hard. It's not easy, but if we keep perpetuating the same story over and over again, we just make that energy bigger. And then we can't get away from the energy. We bury ourselves in it. Because we can't see another way. And then it feels too ominous. Can't do that. And I'll tell you why. So the energies that created the shift I had on Saturday started the day before. And actually, it actually started Tuesday. Tuesday, I was running a whole bunch of errands. I was out. I knew I wasn't going to get home in time to make something to eat. So I stopped at this place to eat something. And after I ate, it was, slice of pizza. Pizza down here is not that great, but this place was okay. And I started driving home. I kind of felt a little uncomfortable, my stomach, whatever. But like, I have a cast iron stomach. Nothing makes me throw up. I'm like, I'm pretty good like that, very iron constitution, never sick. If I go down with an upgrade, that's a different story, but I'm never sick. Like I've never have a cold. I just don't, right? I don't get stomach issues or anything like that. But I didn't feel good Tuesday. And I was like, I must have been the pizza, maybe the oil they used or something like that. Wednesday, I go see the show. I was at the nail salon. I'm in the pedicure chair and put the massager on my back and see the British cooking show. And I'm like, wow, next week is 1 year already, right? Like, and then I get into the girl's chair. She starts doing my nails. And all of a sudden, it feels like somebody punched me in my stomach. And I was like, Ooh, what was that? Rush of heat. I start sweating profusely. I'm like, oh my God, like, am I going through an upgrade? I don't even think, am I getting sick? Do I have food poisoning? Right? That's not in my realm of possibility. Right? The first thing I think is like, holy crap, let me take everything off. I'm having an upgrade. Right? Like, that's what I think because I've trained myself to think that. So here I am. I'm sweating, my hairline is all is wet from the sweat and everything. And I leave there, I go sit in my car, and it's again my stomach, like somebody punched me in the stomach. And I was like, oh my God. I literally doubled over. I was in so much pain. That was Wednesday. So Joe was not coming home until Friday. And the last couple of weeks, we have not had steak on Friday nights because he's had just too much stuff to do trying to get set up in the new house and whatnot. So by the time I got to Friday, I was feeling like crapola. I was in bed when I wasn't doing a session and I was just like hunkered down. And I kept thinking, I had food poisoning. I have food poisoning, right? I did the class last Wednesday and I'm like, it's got to be food poisoning because my stomach is like wretched and I can't eat anything. I'm not hungry. It hurts when I breathe. I couldn't even take in a breath. Like for me to go, that was too much of a breath. I was in complete pain. My stomach was just like somebody was twisting it. And so Friday morning comes around. I'm not feeling any better. I get a text from Joe in the morning. Says, hey, how about steaks tonight? And I'm thinking, oh, sure, we could do steaks, right? Because I don't want to disappoint him. So I'm thinking, how am I getting to the store for the steaks, right? Like I'm sweating profusely. My stomach is wrenching. I really thought I had food poisoning. I'm like, I am feeling so sick, sicker than a dog. It's like, I could do this. I could do this. I'm going to the store, get myself together, go to the store, get the steaks. They didn't even have good steaks. It was horrible, right? So I go come back, get myself undone, get into bed, and then I texted Holly and I'm like, "Hey, yeah, you're a nurse, married to a doctor. I feel like I have food poisoning, but I don't have any of the classic symptoms on Google." And she's like, "Well, you know, you really don't go by that, whatever." And I was like, "Yeah, I don't know if I keep hearing I should not go to the hospital, right? For the last couple of days, my guides were like, do not go to the hospital." And I'm like, "Oh, the last time they told me this, I had to clear the Bartholin cyst and I had to surrender to God." And I'm like, "Oh, I don't know, you know, am I gonna die? Am I gonna die?" Right? Like, it was that bad. I could not breathe. I couldn't sit up in bed. I was tilted back, but every time I took a shallow breath, everything hurt me. My whole body hurt me. And then I'm thinking to myself, is this my body shutting down or my kidney shutting down? Is my liver shutting down? Like, is my body? And, you know, my body's like, no, it's not, we're not shutting down. We just want to keep you still and, you know, whatever. And then the idea was like, I could not breathe. I couldn't move. And I was just like so sick. Joe comes home. He's like, what is wrong with you? And he's like, do I have to take you to the doctor? Do we need to go to the hospital? And I'm like, no, I'll be fine. Let's just eat. Meanwhile, I was just like, I don't think I can eat, but I'm going to eat something. So I ate like a quarter of my meal. And I was like, do you want the other half of, you know, the other three quarters of my steak or whatever? He's like, yeah, I'll take it. Whatever. He's like, are you sure you're okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. It's going to pass. Go to bed that night, get up the next morning. I think I had a session that Saturday. I don't remember. I get into bed. Friday night, after I ate the steak, an hour after I ate the steak, I threw up. It just came out of nowhere. And then it was like I threw up and it was done. The pain left my body. I had no more pain. I could breathe. Nothing hurt me. I had a great night's sleep, right? And the next morning, I wake up and I think this is great. I have a piece of toast, and all of a sudden, it comes right back again. And I'm like, Oh my God, what is going on? Like, this is bizarre. This is so crazy. And again, the message is do not go to the doctor, right? So I'm like, okay. So I think I did my session. I got in bed. And this time it was so bad. I was sitting up. I remember sitting up and I remember breathing. And if you've ever had pain like in your body, like I equate it to having, you know, dislocated your back or something like that, where you're like, you breathe in, you're like, because you can't take a breath, right? You're like, it's like you feel like you're choking, right? You're breathing underwater. And I'm laying in the bed, and all of a sudden, I'm just like, I know I'm clearing something. I just knew it. Every fiber in my being said I was clearing something. And I said, I'm going to lay on my side, even though it hurts me so bad to lay on my side. The minute I laid on my side, Bella came up on the bed by me, tucked herself against my body. And I remember laying on my side and I wanted to cry, but there was nothing coming out. There were no tears. And all of a sudden, I just started breathing. I just started a four count breath and just started breathing in for four, hold for four, out for four, hold for four, in for four, and just kept doing that. And then as I was laying down, I could feel myself drifting away. And next thing I know, I'm having a conversation with God. And I say to God, I'm like, so here I am again. I feel like I'm going to die. I feel like I should die. But I don't feel like my time is up. I feel like I have way more to do. Like, this is not it for me, but I feel like I'm going to die. And I don't think I can handle any more of this pain. I think I've met my quota with pain. I'm pretty tolerable, but this is it. I said, so I surrender. If it's your will to take me now and this is it, my time is up before the fun really happens. You're like, this is where I'm going, right? Because the next half of my life is going to be like this amazing freaking fun ride, right? Like, if you're taking me now before I get to see the good stuff, all right, fine, take me, right? But I need to go. Well, in that moment, when I surrendered and it was complete, like my heart surrendered that if I was going to die, I was going to die. In that moment, I had my hand on my solar plexus, my left hand, wh which is your healing hand, right? For most people, it's your healing hand. It's left less dominant hand unless you're left-handed than your right hand would be. But in that moment of surrender, this blob of energy shot right up out of my solar plexus into my hand, and it felt like a rubber stopper. You know, like a cork in a bottle, except it was rubber. And it was large and it popped right into my hand and I dispersed it. And then I thought to my, I remember thinking, right? Like I'm not conscious. I remember thinking that was some kind of plasma. The next thing that happened, like, and this is all simultaneous. This is how healing, spontaneous healing works. In the next instant, and it's all simultaneous, but it feels like a sequence of steps, but it's all at the same time. My body does like this pop, right? Like it doesn't pop, it does this big shudder. Like if you're laying on the sofa and you suddenly wake up and you feel that, like that, you know, that jolt awake. And then the next thing that happened was this pop. It was like somebody popped this sphere of energy that I was in, they popped it and that it was dispersing all over. It was like fluid running down. And in that second, a scene flashed in my third eye, very specific scene to a very specific timeline in my life that started last September 2024. And it said, it's over. Now, this happened simultaneously, right? The surrender, the plasma coming out in like a rubber stopper, this plug coming out. I was plugged in, right? Like an etheric plug or an etheric implant coming out into my hand, the big shutter of my body shake, pop, it is done, simultaneous with the picture of what it was. And then the knowing through every fiber of my being that I just cleared a significant karmic timeline. And other people were involved in this karmic timeline, right? There was a release from that soul contract, a release from that karmic soul contract that happened, and it let go. I heard it is done. Just like with when I had the Bartholin cyst, I came back to awareness in the room, did a self check-in, and the next thing I knew, no pain anywhere in my body. I didn't feel sick. I got up out of bed, and literally the next day, I cooked a big Sunday dinner for me, Joe, and his uncle. Right? And what they showed me was that we do not trust the body to heal. The lie is we think that the heart rate speeding up is a problem. The problem is that we, and again, you know, there are isolated cases like someone having a heart attack to wake them up because they're not awake, right? But the heart naturally goes into recovery mode of the body as it's trying to go through its process. A fever is the toxins releasing from the body when the body has taken on too much garbage, right? Too much energy that is distorted, that is toxic, whatever. Okay. We don't trust the body. Okay. I was listening to this woman who was talking about listening to somebody talking on a YouTube that said, if you have to ever have a heart transplant, don't ever opt in for a heart transplant. They did. They were sorry they did. It's been nothing but hell and torture for their body. Don't ever do it. And 4 months later, she found herself in the position of a heart attack. Healthy person, healthy diet. Did 4 miles a day, walking 4 miles a day, very healthy person. She said she was not a candidate for heart issue at all, never had incident of heart anything. And here she was, and they said to her, you need a heart transplant. And she said, absolutely not. And within 2 days, her heart completely healed because she chose to trust her body, she chose to trust her heart, right? We have to get to that level. I learned this through this experience. We have to get to that level where we just trust. We are energy beings, and there is not anything that we can't do with our body to heal our body if we choose that. But we have to choose it so fully we're surrendering to the process because we're good if we stay, we're good if we go, because we're surrendered. We don't have a terminal condition to our existence or beingness. The next night, Saturday night, after all this happens, I go to sleep and I enter dream state, and I'm in dream state having conversations with souls. And we're talking about soul agreements and forging new soul agreements with each other to. For the purpose of interacting with each other. And I remember this guy saying to me, well, I'm married now. I have one divorce that I have to go through and one marriage. So if I do that in order to step into your timeline, he said, I would have to get the divorce now and then I would have to get married again. And then I remember saying to him, well, then that doesn't work for me because I don't want to get married again. And the conversations with these other souls went on much like that. And what I learned was, unlike soul contracts, which were good for the sake of the soul, it's like what Tamara's son is going through, right? It was for what the soul needed to learn, but it didn't take into consideration the pain and suffering that Tamara would have. So while the soul was happy to make its choice of what it needed to experience in this lifetime, it did not take Tamara into consideration. Whereas now, if that contract was renegotiated, which is everybody here is doing this, we're all doing this in sleep state. We just don't know it. We don't recognize it. Okay. We're all negotiating these contracts. When you know yourself so well, you start to gain higher knowledge, higher perspective when you are choosing you. And then you get the opportunity to go into the higher realms to experience how this is going to play out. If you're someone that's struggling, you may also have this opportunity to get to see how it plays out if it's aligned enough that you might have a shift from it. That's what these energies are lining us up for. These energies are giving us an opportunity to purge the things that we might not be able to do on our own. This timeline is so significant for me because this was a huge karmic timeline. I knew it was karmic, had to be cleared. And I was waiting, like, how is the end of this going to come? What way is this going to close itself out? Like, is there going to have to be a physical conversation, or is there going to be something that's just going to end the timeline where it doesn't have to be carried forward in any shape or form? So there has to be no interaction at all on any level because it is done, right? And that is what played out here. And so it's important to have that awareness that this is what all of us, every single one of us, is experiencing. It's just I happen to be more aware of how this works because of all the work that I've done all the years with this. Okay? But we're all experiencing this just the same, right? So soul agreements now are being made that are more beneficial to the human. So, what we could say here that Tamara could use is that if Tamara really focused in on this circumstance and had a true desire, requires true desire, not to create any more distortion in her life, she could have a higher level conversation with her son and ask for a new soul agreement. Canceling the old soul contract, right? Which would sound like I cancel any soul contract that is not in my highest best good with, and you say the name of who it is, right? Across all space dimensions and timelines, good, bad, right, or wrong, pot of pock, right? And then, which is point of creation, point of destruction, right? Canceling the timeline, you don't need to enact in that timeline anymore. You have to have a desire to cancel it. You can't just expect that it's going to cancel, right? Like, I really had a desire, been thinking about this timeline for a while, really had a desire just not to engage in it anymore and just to let it be done, right? So, this is the creation energy, right? I cancel all soul contracts, karmic ties, bloodline lineages, oaths, vows, and creeds with whomever, right? For my highest good across all time, space, dimensions, and realities, good, bad, right, wrong. Pod and pock, point of creation, point of destruction. and just keep saying it just over and over all day long. That's how I cleared the cyst when I first cleared the cyst, when I cleared the cyst back in 2017, November, right? We have to be so focused on the work. We have to be so focused on moving ourselves forward. We have to be focused on our well-being. Your body is so capable of doing everything you needed to do. Your body can do everything and anything. I keep telling myself, as we reverse the hands of time, 144 years old is looking pretty good right now. What do you think? Anybody coming with me? Or are you all going to stand behind and do nothing, right? Like, we have to make a choice. Loretta? Oh, she was just saying yes. Okay, good. Yeah. We have to make a choice, right? We have to start speaking it in. We have to start caring. When the body is asking for rest, give it rest. Stop self-medicating, guys. That's the game of the third dimension. Self-medication. Oh, we're going to give you Advil for this. We're going to give you this for this, right? I mean, in that moment that I was going through it, Holly was my mentor, and I said to her, "What do you think? Food poisoning? Probably so." I said, "I don't feel like I have to go to the hospital. Probably not." And that was my affirmation, because she showed up as a soul in alignment with me, buffering my own soul's awareness and knowledge. If I operated from a place of uncertainty and I wasn't in my highest, Holly would have been like, "Oh, I don't know. You probably should go to the doctor or go to the hospital or do something," right? Because there would have been a discordant energy there. We would have been out of vibrational alignment, which would have showed me I was not in the right place to make the decisions I was making. Probably the hospital would have been the better place to go. Do you understand? Does that make sense, guys? Right? So, if you have something physical, if you have chest pain, anything else, and you feel like you have to get checked out, go get checked out 10,000 times until you come home every time, like Gretchen did from the hospital. The hospital's like, "Well, we don't know. Can't figure it out." And then eventually Gretchen's going to go like, "I don't need to go to the hospital. I got this. I'm just going to talk to my heart and be like, okay, we're okay. We're okay. I got you. We're okay. Yeah, I haven't been doing a good job moving through life. Let's fix that right now. Let's change that. Let's do this differently." Does this make sense? We take the meds and we self-medicate. We take a med for this and it breaks that. Then we need a med for that because it's broken. And then the new med that we're taking for that breaks something else. So now we need another new med. How much is too much? At what point do we get to where we're just over-medicated and not tuned in? We're not self-aware. We can't do that anymore. We just can't. We have to become self-aware, right? Like, every minute, it's got to be tuning in and doing the self-talk. Loretta's saying today her heart was racing and her body was vibrating, so she laid down until it passed. The body's gonna vibrate from inside. It's like putting a pot of water on the stove with heat. The molecules in our body, due to the radiation, due to the plasma, due to the crystalline technology, are bouncing off each other like crazy, right? We're gonna vibrate from the inside out. It's going to be uncomfortable. But the more you are okay with that, eventually you don't get the pain in the neck and the shoulders anymore. But you're going to get the pain in the neck and the shoulders and down your back until you don't need that experience anymore. You're going to get the pressure headaches until you don't need that experience anymore. The only thing that gives me any kind of a headache these days is a high X flare. An X4 flare gave me a bit of a third eye ache the other day. But other than that, nothing bothers me. And ever since I had this shift, I've been in, ever ready rabbit mode, right? Like with super duper tons of energy. And I'm like, I don't even know who the hell I am right now because I'm never this up. But I cleared something. It can't, the only way I could clear that implant that was in my solar plexus, stopping me from standing in my power fully, right? I still hadn't gotten that, was getting rid of that implant. And I couldn't do that on my own. I needed to go through that upgrade. So,
I just want to be the compassionate one here. Just a slightly different viewpoint. And I totally agree with it, everything you're saying, Maria. My son, my youngest guy, who's very aware, he said, Mom, sometimes you just need to slow down the upgrades. And I was like, no way, Jose. I'm just gonna like be super conscious and I'm just gonna go, go, go. And so, again, I was taught that maybe go, go, go. And I've tended to be an impatient person. It's like, you know what? And this is my journey, right?
But
So,
that's also.
it would be different from other people's journey, but it's like, oh, sometimes you can slow things down.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes the soul forgets. I don't know. The
Well,
soul is.
the unconscious human forgets that they have to slow down, but that's also resistance. Right, needing to have it your way. Would I prefer to go through the upgrade the way that I did on Saturday? No, but that was a full-on upgrade with then technological information embedded in it that I needed to go through, right? Would I have chosen that? Hell no, because it meant another layer of surrender. But in the next layer of surrender, there's less and less fear every time I do that, right? One day I'll be able to sit in the middle of the forest, in the middle of the woods somewhere, and I'm not going to worry about being eaten by coyotes, and I'm not going to be worried about e being eaten by a bear, and I'm not going to worry about the Yeti or any of that, right? That's what it's here for, to bring us back into our origination, knowing ourselves. None of this is real, right? The other day I was in the bathroom, and for just a second, I said, I just have to just stop. And I turned around. I was standing looking out the window as I was putting my makeup on. And I was looking out the window and I turned and I looked and I leaned back against the wall and I looked down at the floor and the carpet pixelated. I've seen lines pixelate, but I've never seen the floor pixelate. Okay. It's becoming more and more obvious to me that this is a simulated reality. And the more we can tune ourselves to the higher frequency and be present and take care, might be hard for people who have a lot of people in their reality or a lot of people in their life. You, Sue, have your husband, you have your sons, you have your daughter. It might be a little harder to have that ability to just really, be present for everything that is coming in. So it's okay too. But also at the same time, you have to check yourself in. You have to check in with yourself rather and say, am I someone that likes to be on the go all the time? Because when I'm on the go and I'm busy and I'm active, I feel productive because that's another part of the illusion of 3D. Right, the human wants to be productive all the time. It doesn't think laying in bed is a good idea. because we weren't taught that it was.
I do that a lot, actually. Anyway, I stand by what I said. And for my journey, it's been really good to sometimes say, talk to my, I'm talking to my guides all the time. And it's like, okay, just need to slow things down just a little bit. Just need to slow the upgrades down just a little bit. I have eternity.
There you go. Yeah.
So it's like, my human wants to be in a rush. My soul's not in a rush. So we might be saying the same things in different words, but I just would like to put the compassion out there because we just need to be compassionate with ourselves as
Well,
humans.
that is what I'm saying. I'm
Yeah.
saying check in with yourself. Most people don't check in with themselves. They want to self-medicate because it's easier to take something and feel better faster. But what it's doing is that Advil PM or anything else is blocking the energies from, moving through your body, creating an upgrade in the way that they need to. So if we're putting something in our body that is, meant to soothe us, it's like ayahuasca. Ayahuasca could be good or it could be a bad trip. It depends on what you're holding in your body. My soul is like nothing is good to put in your body unless you absolutely, really, really need it. Because we don't need to take any of it. What we need to do is we need to self-check. We need to check in and say, what do I need most right now? Do I need to rest? Am I pushing myself too much? Am I not paying attention to my body? My shoulder hurts. Maybe I'm not paying attention to myself. Right? So that's where, it's a very fine line. We can stop the flow of energy and then find ourselves in resistance. Facing emotional challenges and emotional blocks and all kinds of things like that, if we're not paying attention. So, always focus has to be inward and to ourselves first. The one true thing that is truth, because it would be a severe liability, is when you get on a plane and the airline says to you, put the mask on you first. Because they can't tell you to put it on somebody else first, even though that's how this 3D simulation works, because they would get sued if you did that and something happened to you because you didn't take care of yourself first, right? So everything in this reality, everything in the world, everything in our universe is a game of reversals. Everything is reversed. We have to put it back into its rightful place. So when we're interacting in our day-to-day reality, we have to look at what am I telling myself that is not true? What am I telling myself that I'm allowing myself to play with because my human is slightly unconscious, or I need to have this experience that's going to bring me into some kind of pain and suffering, right? The more we're conscious, the more we're focused, and the more we're present, the easier life is going to be. Because we're present, we're here for what is. We're seeing it all. We're not, playing in a delusion or playing out an unconscious role somewhere. So we're saying the same thing. I'm saying always self first and compassion for where you are and what you're going through. Do I expect everybody to have my journey? No, that's not why I'm sharing any of this, because I think anybody that had gone through what I just went through probably would have gone to the hospital because it was that severe. What I'm saying is that we don't even realize the technology that is in our field. That plug that came out of my solar plexus was a technological. You could call it an AI implant. You could call it a galactic implant. You could some kind of intelligence, some kind of implant that was stopping me from accessing my full power. I just unplugged it in that upgrade, right? We all have this. That's why the more present we get for ourselves, the more in tune we get for ourselves, the more we stop, we opt out of the false reality, the illusion reality. And we start connecting and realizing soul agreements can be renegotiated, right? We can do that. Healing. I'm my own healer, right? We heal the body. We don't need anything to heal the body. We just need to support the body through consciousness, conscious awareness. We don't have to give it anything, not a cup of water, nothing. The body will do its thing and heal itself. We just have to get out of the way. And that is the beauty of the energy that we're in right now. It's available to all of us if we want it. Right? So I'm going to leave this here. And if anybody has any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. But if you don't, I think we're going to call it here. We've been on, had an extra long time tonight. So I appreciate you guys hanging in there. Nobody bailed. It was a lot. All right. So make sure whatever you're doing, do your work, guys. If you're stuck on something or you have resistance with something, I don't expect you to have to do two sessions a week. I don't even expect you to do one session a week, but do something, right? Listen to one of my old YouTubes if you're having a problem with ascension stuff, or do work with something, whether it's meditation or breath work or anything like that. That's something I want to work with now, breath work. So I think that's really super important. But anyway, I'm going to leave this here. Just know the body is more than you think it is. This reality, way more than you think it is. Don't sell yourself short. Invest in you. Okay? It's so important for you to invest in you. And be present for you, show up for you, because what you think is the reality is not. And you don't have to suffer through it because you don't know how it really works. That's why we're having this talk tonight. I want you to understand how this really works. It's so critical to our experience and our evolution. All right. So, everybody, have a wonderful week ahead, weekend. And if I don't talk to anybody, please have a wonderful Thanksgiving if you're celebrating it. Have a wonderful
Love
time.
you guys.
Okay. Love you. I will talk to you guys soon. Take care.
Thank you,
Bye.
Maria.
Thank you. Happy
Thank you.
Thanksgiving.
Happy
Have a great weekend,
Thanksgiving.
everyone.